you. Let's pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would take the words that I speak this morning and work them into us in ways that we all need. And so I ask that you give me the clarity that I need up here as we look at our faith and our doubts and how that works together. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you a secret. I have doubts. I have an inquiring mind, and I have spent a lot of my life thinking and reading and teaching about God. I have doubts. I have faith also. There's a mystery to life which provides the culture for faith and doubt. And I'm no different than you guys are in terms of this. There's no difference between the pulpit and the pew in terms of this. You know, I'm presently doing this Bible study on the afterlife, heaven and hell, and I confess that even as we look at these topics together, they are largely a matter of faith and doubt mixed together. What lies on the other side when the heart stops? Well, that will be answered when the beating heart stops. All the questions about God and heaven and hell and meaning and death will cease to be an academic study at that point in time. But until that day, we're going to have faith and doubt. And there's going to be faith and doubt in me. So that also seems to be the case with most of you. So this morning, I want to kind of lean up against the truck and just talk about faith and doubt and what it takes to make that leap of faith and let go and believe. A guy by the name of Nicholas Walterstorff said that faith is a footbridge that you don't know will hold you up over the chasm until you're forced to walk out on it. Let me state that again. Faith is a footbridge that you don't know will hold you over that chasm until you're forced to walk on it. I have a visual expression of that very statement. It comes from a good guy that I like by the name of Indiana Jones.
It's a leap of faith. You must believe, boy. You must believe.
The idea of a leap of faith actually came from a Danish philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard. It does not mean choosing to believe an impossible thing for no good reason. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes people talk about it as if the leap in which you ignore evidence and you give up on reason and you just embrace fantasy as a leap of faith. Actually, if you think about it, any of our freely chosen commitments are leaps of faith, such as the choice to get married. It's a leap of faith. Or to have children, take a new job, maybe move to a new location, new city. Even joining a church is a leap of faith of sorts. The leap of faith is a leap because it involves making a total commitment even when you have doubts. It can be made for good reasons, reasons we have carefully considered, and we're going to make that leap of faith, but it is nevertheless a leap because we have to make the commitment in spite of our fears or our doubts. For there's no other way to truly live, actually. Sometimes the leap of faith comes upon us because we have really no other choice. And I've got a couple of guys that I really am fond of to show you that. Leap of faith with no other choice.
Kid, the next time I say let's go someplace like Bolivia, let's go someplace like Bolivia.
Next time. Ready?
No, we'll jump.
Like hell we will.
No, it'll be okay. If the water's deep enough, we don't get squished to death. They'll never follow us.
How do you know?
Would you make a jump like that you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. They're just gonna have to go back down the same way they come. Come on.
Just one clear shot, that's all I want.
Come on. We got to.
Nope. Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight them.
They'll kill us.
Maybe.
You want to die?
Do you?
All right. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim.
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
It is a truth to say that some of our decisions concerning this life demand 100% commitment, and there are no guarantees. Faith in Jesus is one of those commitments. But so is getting married, so is having children. There are no guarantees that the marriage won't fail. There's no guarantee that that child won't break your heart. Some decisions, usually the most important ones, require total commitment, and there are no guarantees. And we can all play the game, what if? There may be somebody here, and you have never made that leap of faith concerning who Jesus is as your personal Savior, or made that leap of faith concerning your commitment to Him as Lord of your life because of doubts. You sort of believe, but... Well, I figured out something a long time ago. If you sort of believe in God and you think that He is up there and created everything, but it is totally impersonal and that God has nothing to do with us, then you're basically a philosopher of life. And I can tell you this truth, this much is truth. The God of philosophers is not a God that is to be loved. That is not a God to be worshipped or prayed to. A God who is not concerned with human destiny is the God of the agnostics and the irreligious deists, you might say. There is nothing personal about it. I learned this a long time ago with my inquiring mind and my orange personality. For those of you who have taken the color test, I am an orange personality. If I leap, if I trust, I do not know for sure what will happen. What I do know is this, though. If I don't leap, if I don't trust, if I don't hope, if I don't ask, I will never truly live. I will never know. I knew that if I didn't leap, I would exist and I would grow old and I would die standing on the side of that cliff like my good friends Butch and Sundance. So I made a leap of faith back when I was about 20 years ago. Last week I talked about the moment of transfiguration where God was revealed in all His glory. We have these scriptures in here. We're not going to read them together, but that was last week's message from Mark chapter 9. If you get bored in this, we'll just read about it. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what happened in terms of that scripture. And the Mount of Transfiguration, God was revealed in all His glory in Jesus. And then the disciples with Jesus came down off that mountain, and they entered into a valley of despair and doubt and hopelessness. They go down from the mountain, and things are not going well down there in the reality of life. And there they meet a father who is desperate for help. His son is tormented by a demon and suffers convulsions and self-destructive behavior. He's looking for Jesus, but he encounters Jesus' disciples. They try to heal the boy by doing the same things that Jesus did, but it doesn't work. A crowd of people are watching. Some of them are the religious leaders of the day who don't believe in Jesus. And they watch the disciples fail in this deliverance ministry. And they say, apparently this Jesus stuff is just not that hot. The disciples are embarrassed. And instead of caring for the man and his son, they get into a religious argument on the spot. It turns into a kind of circus at the time. And Jesus walks up and he surveys the scene and he asks, "What are you guys arguing about?" The father tells Jesus how his son is tormented by a spirit that has made him mute and throws him to the ground in convulsions. And he says, "I asked your disciples to help, but they couldn't do anything. I brought my boy and it's like a freak show here, a circus of sorts. If you can do anything, Jesus." And Jesus picks up on that word, "if." Jesus says, "If I can do anything, everything is possible for him who believes." And the Father says those very important words, "I believe, help my unbelief." Now let me tell you something, folks, that is a doubter's prayer. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." That is the valley of if. The end of the story is that the boy was healed, he grew up, made some friends, he worked alongside his father, he got married, he grew old and has always remembered that day when he was a boy and that rabbi did what nobody else could do, and he lived happily ever after. At least we hope so. Now the question is, how about us? Do you think this story really happened? Or do you have doubts? Maybe your faith is filled with that word, if. There may be somebody here today and you're standing on the side of that cliff and you are stuck on doubts, wondering, "Can I trust myself to Jesus even though I doubt? If I take a leap, will he catch me?" Kind of like Butch and Sundance, the world is shooting at you, and you know you can't stay where you are. And as Butch would say, there may be eternal and spiritual life on the other side, but the end of the leap might just get you killed. That leap of faith. It really doesn't matter what I say up here, because I can't, nor should I, try to talk you into the leap. But I do know something about how if works, that word if. I know that if you never believe, if you never trust, you're never going to know. Sometimes a leap of faith is the only form of transformation that can happen, which brings me to the circus event of the day, that leap of faith. I have some clips from a movie called Trapeze, and I just talked to them up here about it. The daring young man or woman on that flying trapeze.
The only man alive today to attempt a triple. 3 complete somersaults before reaching the arms of his catcher. We'll be right back.
Sometimes a daring young man on the flying trapeze is a woman.
You want to be in the act? Come on over to me.
Fly?
Just a simple straight jump. I'll call you time from the board and call you off the bar.
Oh, but it's too soon. I can't.
But don't worry. He'll catch you. He's got great hands. Here. Use the bar. It'll give you a better swing. Come on. Now, don't worry.
All of it. Come on.
Here.
I did it. You caught me.
Now, that's the daring young woman on the flying trapeze. Now, I have another cut that I would like to. This is when she was practicing for this movie. Actually, this is our own Heidi Sisko.
Kick forward, backwards, forward, let go.
And she told me about that this summer, and I was already thinking about this message on trapeze because I found out that it meant table. Now, there are three moves in the leap of faith, folks. The first one is just letting go of the trapeze. That's that bar. Whatever your trapeze is. The second one, part of it, is waiting. And the third part is then being caught. Letting go, waiting, and being caught. The word trapeze, that little bar between the ropes that a trapeze artist has to let go of, comes from that Greek word trapeza. And it means table. About the only time it is used in the New Testament is when Jesus gathers his friends at the Last Supper around the table, the trapeze. It's what we call the communion table. And he teaches them that he will have to let go of his life for them. And that the only way to hang on to one's life is to let go of it. And he goes to the cross and he lets go. He hangs above the earth for several hours with his hands stretched out, not moving a muscle. He speaks, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And when he did that, he was saving us. And he was teaching us about trusting God the Father. He let go and he waited. And during the wait, there was a moment when he also doubted. He even spoke it. He says, thank God he said it first. "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He doubted that the catcher would be there. But he made the leap and was caught. For us, God comes and he says, "Let go." Will you let go? We have plenty of examples in the Bible. Abraham was asked to let go of everything and move on faith. A rich young ruler was asked to let go of his trapeze, which was his money. To the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Go and sin no more." Will you let go of that relationship that you know dishonors God? What are you to let go of? Anything that will keep you from God. But it is always a leap of faith. And the faith is in the one who catches you. You have to let go of the trapeze, the bar that you hold on to. What are you to let go of? It's one thing to catch a bar, but it is another thing to watch and he gets caught by another person. What are you to let go of? Anything that will keep you from God? Will you let go of that relationship if it dishonors God? Will you let go of your attachment to money? It's something we really hang on to, don't we? Will you let go of your desire for power and control and become a servant in a life situation? Will you let go of your addiction, admit it, and get help? Will you let go of that habit? Will you let go of that grudge, that unforgiveness? Will you let go of your ego, your pride, your money, your reputation, your disobedience? God will come and say, let go. And then he says, wait. Waiting is that in-between time when I have responded to God, but things are not yet the way I want them to be. You got that still up there? The waiting time is between them. I keep obeying, I keep trusting, I keep saying yes, and I hold out my hands waiting for the catcher to take them. God, I can't make things turn out the way I want them to be. I don't have control. The flyer can't do anything. The daring young man or woman on the flying trapeze can do nothing unless the catcher does his job. And we have here the time stop. And sometimes that's where we live. There is that time when you are flying or when you are falling, and it all depends on the catcher. I worry while I wait, and my hands are lifted towards God like the daring young man on the flying trapeze. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my doubting outstretched hands. The leap of faith is a time of hanging between heaven and earth and not knowing but hoping for someone to catch you. Of course, we're often tempted to desire if. There's that word again, if. If I could just see one miracle, one supernatural event in my life, the way they had them back in the biblical times, you know, one event where I could know for sure, then I would never doubt. Oh, really? There are so many stories in the Bible where people experience supernatural miracle events, and yet there's still room for doubt. Read the stories. Abraham, Moses, Gideon, the disciples, so many others. They still doubted even with faith. But I know there are some who doubt to a fault. You know, agnostics, I don't know if I got any here, atheists, they don't believe that there is a God or that he cares. Could be one of you. You come to the edge of the cliff and you look down and you say, you know, if I jump, there is nothing but death down there. Well, maybe. But I know that atheism and agnosticism is a cruel and long-range affair with despair and darkness. I would rather be foolish and take the chance and make the leap. Let go of the trapeze and jump. You let go, you wait, and you get caught. Now, I know this. I'm just a flyer. And so are you. The flyer can't do anything. The catcher does everything. God is calling. He says, trust me. All will be well. Let go. Let go. You can do it. Now, I've got one last clip from this movie, Trapeze. And when you watch it, I want you to pay attention to what's going on in it. There is a conversation that is happening between the catcher and the flyer. But underneath them, there's all kinds of things going on. It's like the noise of the world and the distractions of the world that are going on. and yet it's really between the catcher and the flyer. And even in this clip, the world tries to stop that leap. And a lot of times the world tries to stop our leap as well when we're talking to God.
John, bring the Norths down. Let's show them some real circus. Let's give them a trip. Come on. Now, are you? I thought you had nerve. What's happened to it?
Stop, Dino. He's not safe.
Shut up! You! Stop that act. Turn off the spotlight. Take down the net! Quick, quick! Take it down! No net, Tito. But that should be right down your alley. You remember when you first came to me? There was no net then. That's when I first began to figure you had it. Ballet! Quick, ballet! 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 Beat! Ballet! This is the night we've been working for. This is your night. The biggest night of your life.
Hello? You have to get them down. You must.
They won't fly without a net. I guess I had you all wrong. I guess you're only brave on the ground. We can go down again and you can beat me up. Or you can stay up here and show me how much nerve you've really got. Are you scared, Tino? Your hands wet? Are they sweating? Maybe you're too scared to go down. Does the height bother you? Is that what it is? You said I was the only man in the world who could teach you a triple. Well, there's nothing more I can give you. It's up to you now. Full and strong. Now watch my swing. Let me know when it's right. And remember, kid, you can do it.
Focus is between the catcher and the flyer and all the world noise around them, trying to stop them at first, but always watching. And in your life and my life, it's always between me and God. The question of faith is never just an intellectual question and decision. You know, I started thinking about it, and what Jesus said seemed to have some validity. But it was a leap of faith when I said to myself, I'm going to do what he says and actually let go. And when you wait, then you wait, wondering and hanging in midair a lot of times in your life as you wait. Read with me Matthew 28, 16 and 17, which is really the scripture for today. Here we go. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Matthew doesn't cover it up, does he? He points out that some doubted. Amazing. They had walked with him. They had listened to him. They had learned from him. They had studied him. They saw him crucified, and then they now see him resurrected, and still some doubted. We who follow Jesus live between faith and doubt, trusting and questioning, hoping and worrying. We're like the daring young man or woman on the flying trapeze. We live by faith, but we're all waiting for something, whether we want to or not. We're all waiting for death, or we are waiting for the Creator. Life is kind of like a circus, and the truth is, we're all born holding on to a trapeze, which we call our life. We hold on to it tightly, our security, our okayness, our success, our importance, our worth, our stuff, our bodies, our health, our influence. We hang on to it, and then Jesus comes along and he says, you can let go of all that. You can let go of your life. You can die to all the things that you hold on to so tightly. And you find that you haven't died to anything at all that really matters. You can let go of the darkness, the selfishness, the fears, and even the doubts. Now, for all of us, we live under this myth that all die, but I won't, don't we? We live under that myth. We all die, but I won't. The truth is, one day, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, maybe 50 years from now, you will let go of this little trapeze called your life, and so will I. One day you will take your last breath and your hands will go slack, and you will let go, and though you have been flying high in this circus called life, the real question is, what happens then? Agnostics and atheists, they believe that that is the end, no safety net. But Jesus believes there is a catcher. He even said it. He said, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he let go. And we will all let go one day. We will let go like the disciples in this scripture. And when you leave here today, some will worship and some will doubt. Either way, we come to the table today, the Lord's table, the Lord's trapeze, where Jesus said, this is my body, this is my blood, this is my life, and I let it go for you.